Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, politics. He brings well over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. And we welcome him in right now. Good morning, Jim.
If you need assistance, dial the operator. Please hang up now.
That one's gone.
The recording.
We'll try now. Is that you, Jim?
All right.
All right. There we go. We're all hooked up finally. I think the people are trying to prevent us from getting hooked up.
Are you ready?
Yep, we're ready. We're on the air.
Okay.
So,
good
Jim.
Good morning, Marshall.
Yeah. Good morning. It's been an interesting couple of weeks here, taking a look at the world and the United States.
Very, very rocky. Very, very rocky road. I don't know if you saw this, but William Burns, head of the CIA, met with the head of the Taliban yesterday in a secret meeting, obviously. I would presume they're discussing whether the Taliban will go along with extending the time it takes for us to get out. My own feelings on that are very simple. It was good getting out. We did it very poorly, very sloppily, ill-planned, didn't pay attention to the intelligence. That's past. Now we've got to get out without loss of life, and we've got to get as many people out who are Afghans but who worked with us during the war. My suggestion to Mr. Biden, I beg pardon, President Biden, is that while it's good to talk to the Taliban, I think right now we should send a minimum of 10,000 to 20,000 troops into Afghanistan, starting with Kabul, just to stand there, stand down, expand the perimeter around the airport, and if need be, go on search missions for those Afghanis who supported us during the war, to pull them out and get them on planes. But I think it's too late for talk. I'm not advocating a major conflict, but I am advocating that we make up for the disastrous approach we've taken and show our muscle and show these people that, look, we're getting the hell out. Let us get out peacefully, and if you don't, we're not going to give you any peace. The key, I've already strategized what I would do in terms of hitting certain targets if they do act up, such as the presidential palace, which is an easy one, but the real one is I'd hit the power plants, I'd hit irrigation, I'd hit those things that will make it miserable for the Taliban to rule, because whether they like the people they're ruling or not, they're going to have to somehow supply them water and power and so forth. So that's where I am right now.
You know, Jim, looking at this, I'm a firm, first of all, I have been against what has been going on in Afghanistan ever since Osama bin Laden was killed and Al-Qaeda was kind of interrupted. I mean, it's the reason we went into Afghanistan was not to rebuild the country and our image. It was to get Al-Qaeda and to get Osama bin Laden. And we strayed once again as a country, not learning our lessons from Vietnam, or not even learning the lessons, which I've been trying to explain to people, of our operation, which got Iraq out of their neighbor, General Schwarzkopf, and the assembled multitude of many different countries, kicked Iraq out of a neighboring country, and people wanted Schwarzkopf to march into Baghdad, and he said, that's not the mission. The mission here is not to take over and redo a country. It was to take one country out of another country, which we did. So once again, we didn't learn from that, and we didn't learn, obviously, from what happened in Vietnam. And I think that getting out of Afghanistan is a move that was long overdue. I mean, it was just, you know, there was no way it was going to work. people over the centuries have tried to take over and run Afghanistan, and it's just not that type of country. It's ruled by warlords, always has been the majority of it, and always will be. It's just not going to change. The way we got out turned out to be disastrous. There's no doubt about that. Once again, we didn't learn our lesson, but I'm very proud of the way now that we've brought 6,000 to 10,000 soldiers in, and there. I also want people to know that there are still some Afghan soldier units that are working with our soldiers to protect that airport and get as many people out as possible. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens beyond the end of August, which is about a week away, to see if the Taliban really wants to put the test on or not. It's going to be very interesting. But it's been this whole thing, Jim, caused me yesterday to take a look back. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Shock and Awe. The movie Shock and Awe was about how one news service, Knight Ridder, really covered the evolving change of what we did in Afghanistan better than anybody else. The Daily News, the New York Times had to years later apologize for the coverage. Washington Post had to apologize for the coverage. But the great thing about the movie is what it points out at a key time in our search for bin Laden, our government changed directions and wanted to once again remake Iraq into a democratic society and completely let Afghanistan then, and most military people will tell you this, gave up on Afghanistan, and then after the Iraq war produced what it produced, once again it sucked us into more in Afghanistan. As a country, we have to learn that we can help countries, we can do things, but the days of any country going into another country and thinking that they can change that country into a democracy or something different than it's been under are long gone.
Well said. And just let's take it back for a minute to Kuwait and Baghdad and Schwarzkopf. And the president then was George Bush Sr., and Schwarzkopf, and they decided we're not going to Baghdad. We've taken care of the Kuwaiti problem with the Baghdadis, and the mission accomplished. We should have done that after bin Laden, as you, I think, were alluding to, and we just don't learn our lessons, what we have to now, because hopefully with this administration, somebody's going to have the guts to go back and start investigating all those corporations and individuals who made, U.S. individuals, who made so much money from this war in Afghanistan going on and on and on. Also, another reason for it going on and on were the people, the Afghans in control and others in that region were making money from the war, and it was up to them to keep it going, going, going. Lastly, obviously, the Afghans never had any interest in fighting, but they loved the mother's milk of the U.S. Armed forces and oil companies and other corporations propping up them. It would probably be impossible to know the number of millionaires made in Afghanistan by this war. I'm talking about Afghans, but there are many. So we've got to get on with business. We've got to take care of our people and get them out. And then we've got to stay the heck out of all of this stuff. If it works for us to do it, to take a hit, to take somebody out in another nation that's indeed threatening us, that's one thing. But taking all of our men and women and all of our treasure and equipment and technology into a country and then leaving it there is absolutely insane, absolutely insane. It's important to notice that Biden, during the Obama administration, was pulling then to get us out of Afghanistan. So maybe it's the longevity of his desire which made him very sloppy in getting out. It's so human nature is so easy sometime. I said to my wife about 4 or 5 days before this Afghanistan happened, I said, you know, Biden is really spending too much time running to some plant and going here and making all this talk on the television. This was before the Afghanistan. And what I was getting at was he had so many things on his plate. Infrastructure, the Voting Act, and the border in Mexico. So he should have been at home base paying attention. The second thing is he didn't listen to his military. He didn't listen to the people on the ground who knew the Afghans had already been trading their guns for money. And we shouldn't have been surprised. The newspaper men knew what was going to happen. They didn't know the exact day, but they knew damn well it wasn't going to be in 3 months when the Taliban decided to come in. Water over the dam. Let's get with it. Let's live up to our ability to do great things. Already, it's running pretty successfully, this tragedy of having to get these people out, but it's improving by the day. So we just have to hope. And as you said twice in this show, we have to learn our lesson and get on with taking care of Americans. The $2 trillion we wasted in Afghanistan. Can you imagine what we've done for poor people, for sick people in this country, and frankly, elsewhere in the world, in investing? Sorry, go ahead.
You know, what's interesting about this is that this is, when you look at this problem, this is not a Republican or Democratic problem. It's a party of, it's a problem of the United States in general. And you can go all the way back to Dwight Eisenhower talking about the military-industrial complex. Republican presidents, outside of George Bush, his son, George Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, they could never pull the trigger on backing out of Afghanistan simply because of the amount of money that these corporations were making in Afghanistan, the black ops corporations and the producers of military arms. This is the problem that the United States has to, at one point, get a president, get a Senate, and get a Congress that looks at it and says, we can't do this anymore. We can't boost our economy by being in these 20-year wars and trading in arms and limiting our profits and then losing American lives, losing other lives. You know, there's a great quote in the movie that happened that I was watching in shock and awe, and it's an actual great quote about the head of Knight Rudder News Service, who was very upset that one of the main newspapers were not running the stories they were running because they were pro-war. And the quote is, "We do not write for the people who send people's kids to war. We write for the people whose kids get sent to war." We have to look at these wars that we've been involved in as wars of opportunity for fortune-making for companies and for people in foreign lands, and we just have to stop.
Unquestionably, and the time is overdue in looking what we have to do with this infrastructure bill. And I think most of us who get out once in a while in an automobile will attest to this. This country is breaking down physically. Be it roads, bridges, water, the environment. And we can't afford this kind of thing. And once again, it's an action we've been taking for the few, as you've mentioned, corporation and large individuals. We've really got to get back to working for the whole country, for everybody in the country, be they have a little or very little, or a lot or very or an awful lot. We've got to get balance here, and these billionaires really aren't doing us any favor by spending money going through outer space for 30 seconds for some joyride. I mean, it's their money. That's not the point. But as citizens, they're supposed to give a better example of what we should be doing with our money. I mean, we can't fix our water supply in certain areas. We can't fix our power supply in certain areas when they are under stress. So how, in the name of God, are we going to start building something in Mars or somewhere else? I mean, who's going to pay for that? I can assure you, the American public is not going to pay for it.
And Jim, I have to break in here, and I want your opinion on this. I think what has come to light over the past 4 or 5 days is that the monster that Donald Trump has created, which is the monster of America First, is now officially out of control. Donald Trump was speaking at a rally in Alabama, and he was telling people that he got the vaccination, they should get vaccinations. They booed him. The monster that he created, this independent 38 to 40% of the people of America who feel so forgotten and misled, now really are a party unto their own, and they booed their own leader who they supported. That bodes a lot of trouble in the future for Republicans who want to take over, and there's many of them. I could name them, but I won't start right now. Who want those Trump voters, and who try to back at Trump right now, by him being booed by people at his rally, shows you that once you let the horse out of the barn, it's very hard to get it back in.
That is the most apt description of what has happened. You can con and lie to the people and get them to accept the misinformation. But once you get them into that mode, you can't get them out with a snap of the finger. And obviously, Trump has begun to take it. To hear the fact that he can and his Republican pals can't win this election just with the Nazi Fagans in his following. They need other people. They need people who have gotten vaccinated, want to get vaccinated, don't want anybody telling them, don't get vaccinated. So hopefully the worm has turned. Also, we're seeing Republicans, for some insane reason, particularly in Florida and Texas, running a death campaign, administering programs that lead to people getting sick and dying from the COVID. I think that's begun to turn in Florida in terms of people turning against DeSantis. But this is what is so crazy. I said to my wife the other day, watching something on television, I said, my God, here we have people out there. They don't want to get vaccinated. Fine. Okay, you don't care about your fellow man. Fine, that's your business. That's your liberty, okay? But don't you dare challenge people who are getting a vaccination. Don't you dare yell and scream at them in the street. And this is a big problem in this country. Trump has really, really gone to the depths of some of our basic problems as human beings, and gotten the negativity up and out there. You know, you can see it on the airlines with the flight attendants being attacked. You can see it in the street with people fighting over things that have nothing to do with what's true, good, or real. And this is the product of the Donald Trump entourage, preaching negativity, preaching against us, preaching we're right and you guys are wrong. We got a deep-seated problem here. We've set the genie out of the bottle in terms of people who just want to be negative, and they, regardless of their own health or faith, they just want to be negative. So we've got to accent the positive. Don't try and fight this, because as you're seeing in Alabama, it's going to eventually come around. and we're going to eventually have to even out here. When, why, and how, I don't have a clue. But if we're going to survive as a country, that's got to happen. And it's got to begin to happen with the people in Alabama who basically have advocated this no vaccine, no mask, and so forth. And they're losing people left and right. We're now being hit with children, infants, with this in various states. So it's good we're getting out of Afghan. We've got to now redeploy our soldiers somewhere that they can be useful to our own economy. And I know the military shouldn't get involved other than an emergency. We are seeing emergency medical people being sent to Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi. That's in the last couple of days. They're trying to help the frontline people, the nurses and doctors. We need more of that. We need more participation by all of us in getting ourselves together and getting better as a nation.
All right, we have about 2 minutes left, and the question I have for you is, with this significant week, past 2 weeks behind us, a lot of upheaval, not only in this country, but across the world, what do the markets look like to you, and what should people be wary of or lean to when it comes to investing?
Well, the market is beginning to look tired. It's gravitating around this 35,000 average in the Dow Jones. It's had a tremendous run. We've advocated over the last months take profits to prune portfolios. I would continue to do that. I would watch the bond market in terms of eventually the Fed is going to take away the punch bowl of basically owning every U.S. government security that exists. And when that happens, rates will kind of go up. Also, you've got to factor into your investments, inflation is going to come, and it's going to come with a vengeance because the Fed has been feeding so much money into the system, and that money is not going away real quickly. You can see this happening in spots like in foodstuffs where, because of Mother Nature, we're having some problems. But you're going to see it elsewhere. For instance, GM, they ran out of semiconductors. Now, the price, therefore, for semiconductors of cause is going to go up. So if you obviously have profits, take X amount. You've got to use your head in terms of that. But you can't be buying stocks at these levels. They're not cheap. The economy is slowing down as I speak because of the renewed, the virus is causing people to lose work and lose jobs and so forth. So it's a perfect opportunity to take profits, a perfect opportunity to go into X amount of cash versus what you normally do. And when and if the market gets really hit, you know, 10% from here on the downside, that's easy to see. We get away from inflation, it's more. So this is just caution. It's an easy trade. You have a lot of money on the market, lower the amount of exposure.
Right.
The big profits in the market, take them. Why did you buy these stocks anyhow? They're not going to the moon.
Okay. Jim, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I missed our conversation last week, the week before that, but we'll check in with you next week and see what's going on in this incredible world we have.
Okay, big fella. I hope you're doing well, and keep hitting the ball hard.
Okay, Jim, take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio. And a reminder, the comments and opinions you hear on Cover Your Assets and other shows that put out opinions, those opinions are those of the people that give them and do not represent necessarily those of anybody who works, is employed by Tri-State Public Communications, CATV6, Robinhood Radio, or the Morgan Barn. They are simply the opinions of those who give it, okay? All right.